As always, it's so good to be with you. And what a story we have to look at this morning. The Transfiguration. It is such a moving experience that it is recorded by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John, in his gospel, makes mention of it as well when he says, "We beheld his glory." Now, glory is one of the keys to this passage today. Now, just to put things in context a little bit, because it helps to bring more light to the story, just 6 days prior, Peter had professed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And it was immediately after that that Jesus announces that he would suffer, die, and on the third day be raised again. Now, being the first time that the 12 have heard these words from Jesus, they could not get beyond the words suffering and death. They just couldn't get past that to the resurrection point. And so they're literally thrown into a state of shock. Well, you can imagine it was probably a rough next 6 days for them. A bombshell had been dropped on them. And on top of that, there was the daily needs. Jesus at this time was extremely popular with the people, and they were crowding and pushing in on him. And it was very difficult for the apostles to minister to him and take care of his needs. So I could just about imagine all of them were wound up just as tight as a rubber band. And then seeing the anxiety on the faces of these disciples, Jesus says to James, Peter, and John, "Let's go up on the mountain. We need to go up on the mountain." Now this raises a good question. Do you ever have a rough week? Or maybe a rough month or a rough year? I thought, well, maybe we should say, when do you not have one of those today in the culture that we live in today? Well, the reality is we all do. It's a stress-filled world. That's the way we live today. And it's in those kinds of moments that Jesus invites us to withdraw with him for a while and renew our strength. You could say he asks us to be transfigured, or to transform us, or renew us, or re-energize us. And I think the words of St. Thomas Aquinas are particularly applicable in this situation. Listen to what he wrote. He said, "It is particularly necessary to see the delightful end if the road is hard and rough and the going is heavy." Thank you for those words. Now, undoubtedly, being on the mountaintop always helps to put life into perspective, because you can see grandeur, you can see it in all directions. And then, like the eagle, I mean, you've probably seen that too. On the mountaintop, the eagle rises above everything else. And as a young boy, somebody who grew up in the mountains of southeastern Kentucky, who loved to be in the mountains a lot, I can relate to that. I can relate to what Jesus had to say. But Jesus had something infinitely more important in mind to share with them other than a panoramic view. And it's this. We're told that while Jesus was praying, he was transfigured. Now, the literal word for transfigured is metamorphosis. You've probably heard of that word, haven't you? It's sort of like the journey of the butterfly as it goes from a caterpillar into this beautiful butterfly. And in other words, what Jesus is doing when he is transfigured, he is allowing his glory, there's that word, he's allowing his divinity to radiate through his entire being. And the exciting thing, it was radiating from the inside out. It was coming from him. That's where the light, the glory was coming from. We're more of a reflection. We're sort of like the moon. Jesus is the sun, and we're the moon that's reflected upon it. But it was, for him, it was coming right out of the center of his being. And it says that his glory shone so bright that even his clothes became dazzling white. That's quite an amazing feat, isn't it? Now, this was the first time that Jesus had revealed his glory or divinity to the disciples. And actually, it's the only time at least that's recorded in the scriptures that Jesus reveals his glory in the gospel. And they had front row seats to that. Wouldn't you love to have been there for that experience? Well, why did he do that? Why did he do it? Why did he pull them aside and say, let's go up here on the mountain? Well, the whole event is meant to be an encouragement to all disciples who have lost some of the wind in their sails. We do have a feast day of the Transfiguration where we focus more on the theological summits that are in there, the great truths about the crucifixion and the resurrection. But today, during Lent, we're focusing upon the issue of encouragement. Encouragement. And the disciples, discouraged by what Jesus had told them just a few days prior, they needed to see the glory of Jesus shine through in a big way in order that they too could be transfigured in their minds and in their hearts. Now, there's many ways that Jesus' glory does this. I want us to look briefly at three right now. The first is that Jesus' glory fills us with the wonder of God. We have a temptation, there's a challenge today because we live in an age of reason and science where everything is, you know, it's all explainable like that. But when we lose that sense of awe and wonder, we have lost a very important part of who we are as the people of God. Because wonder strengthens us, is what it does, as it strengthens these apostles to go forward in life even when life is tough. And I think St. Paul, he puts it, the perspective perfectly when he writes these words. He says that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. There he says it. Boy, you know, whatever we have to endure or go through, think of that sense of wonder and awe and that we can, there's nothing compared to the glory of God. And then, would you know it, Moses and Elijah show up. Two of the great people in the Old Testament. And the disciples, what they do is they receive a wonder-filled affirmation of God's plan of salvation. And it says they listened in. Now, because we have three accounts, we can expand a little bit on the story of what took place. They listened in because Jesus was talking about his upcoming crucifixion and his departure. Well, guess what? That's very important theologically, but most importantly at this time for these disciples, it was a great affirmation. See, Jesus was saying, hey, let's get beyond the suffering and death, and let's also look at the resurrection portion. And he did that because he knew what they needed to hear, and he cared for their needs. And you cannot help but sense the tension, the release of tension that must have been in these apostles' minds and hearts as they heard the rest of the story, so to speak, in what Jesus was going to do as he's talking to the two greatest figures in the Bible, Moses and Elijah. So what a wonderful thing that was. And this leads us to the second thing that beholding Jesus' glory does to boost our spirits. Now that they have caught a glimpse of Jesus' wonder, they are filled, it says, with inspiration. The minds of the disciples were lifted from the concerns of life, and they were engulfed in the blazing light of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what does Peter say? Well, he says what anybody would say. Lord, this is good. Let's stay right here. We'll just stay right here, and I'll set up a place where we can worship you, and we'll stay right here. Now, who could blame anybody for not wanting to do that? Of course you would want to do that, because Peter, he sensed an intersection between heaven and earth in a way that brought peace into his life, in a way that satisfied the deepest longings in his life, in a way that took away the burden and worrisomeness of life. Now, we've all had those experiences in our life. There's been times or moments in our lives when we've experienced the nearness of God in our lives that we wish we could stay there. We wish we could stay there and not have to go back down the mountain, so to speak. These are important times. Reflect on that today. When were some times that you felt the immediate presence of God in your life? Remember those times and find great strength and encouragement in those times. The third thing that Jesus' glory does is that it challenges us. God affirms Jesus now by telling the apostles three words. These are key words to this story. If you want to unlock the story, God descends in a cloud of glory. Imagine being consumed in a cloud, a bright cloud, and God says, listen to him. Listen to him. Now, these are very important words because they were God's total endorsement of Jesus. God the Father is saying, you need to listen to him. And I find it interesting because this is one of those unique times which we call a theophany. It's a time when Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all together. Well, the last time that it took place was at the baptism of Jesus. There they were. There was the theophany. But what did the God say out of the cloud? He said, listen to them. Listen to him. Listen to him. And so what a wonderful endorsement that is for our own lives. And then just as suddenly as it took place, everything was like it was before, with one exception. The apostles were recharged. They were transfigured. They were transformed. And now the wonder and the inspiration that they had, and there are many examples of this in the scripture of when where the Holy Spirit does this, it would strengthen them for the challenges that lie ahead as they journeyed to Jerusalem because they were on their way there and ultimately the cross. And so having, you would imagine, being consumed in a bright cloud of glory and God the Father speaking, they were laying flat on the ground. I mean, they were really overwhelmed with that experience. But I love what Jesus does to encourage them. How would you like this? You're there, you just experience this. Jesus comes up, he taps them on the back, and he says, get up and let's go. Don't be afraid. Isn't that beautiful? That's what he says to us today. He says, get up, let's go, and don't be afraid. So I'd like to leave you with two thoughts for reflection this morning. How do you follow God's instruction when he says to you, listen to Jesus? How do you listen to Jesus? And the second is, maybe you're here this morning and life has you drooping a little bit. Well, as you behold the glory of Jesus, pick one of the following inspirations and make it your prayer today. These are great resolutions for Lent. And here they are. Re-energize whatever in my spirit has crept into the cave of gloom. Bring it forth into the radiance of your glory. Reinvigorate a desire to enter each day confident of your grace to help sustain a positive perspective no matter what the perils or distress confronts me. Reclaim love that has grown cold or dormant due to neglect, misperception, or the deluge of overwork that quickly steals affection from my heart. Restore order and balance in my mind. Clear it of all the clutter and the tangling thoughts and judgments. Resurrect the passion I once had for bringing the best of my inner goodness to each and every part of all I am and all that I do. Reveal to me what keeps playfulness from emerging and forfeits the freedom to express the laughter that is hiding inside of me. And finally, release the door of my heart to enter the tender moments, the happy events, and the unforeseen experiences, holding great joy if only I am open to them. God bless all of you.